Whoop, whoop.
And that is a sincere whoop, whoop, because, guys, there is breaking news.
Uh-oh, hang on, let me get the button. I got up from my seat.
Right? So on the crawl right here is on ESPN, the Dodgers and Mookie Betts are talking deal. The two sides are deep into negotiations on a long-term contract that was first reported by WEEI out of Boston. And, you know, watching these games the last couple of nights, he looks awfully comfortable in that Dodger uniform. He looks awfully comfortable around his new teammates, and that they're going to get this done before the season even takes off, potentially before this thing has a potential to even be shut down. This is great news that the Dodgers are going to sign Mookie Betts to a long-term deal sooner than later, because he is, if he's not the best player in baseball, and he's probably not, he's probably second or third. He's that big of a deal.
Travis, I just want to make sure that I'm not misinterpreting the words coming out of your mouth. Are you telling me that a player who hasn't even played a regular season game yet for the Dodgers is going to lock up his long-term deal before Dak Prescott? Are you telling me, are you telling me someone who hasn't even been a Dodger? Someone who's not even a Dodger is about... is about to become the franchise player where Dak Prescott, who's been there for like 4 years, can't get a deal? Is that what you're telling me?
That is exactly what I'm telling you. Now, it's not done. They're deep into negotiations is the way that this is worded. But you would imagine if this is starting to leak like this, that it is indeed very, very close. And LZ, this kind of brings us back to what we were talking about a minute ago. The Dodger, air quotes, dynasty and lack thereof. The Dodgers have won the NL West 7 times in a row. The Dodgers have won the National League pennant 2 of the last 3 years, okay? They've had World Series appearances. They haven't won it. They've had a whole bunch of postseason appearances and have not cashed the whole thing in. We'll see what happens this year. You know, who knows? It's a short season. Dodgers are obviously the favorites to get it done, but we know what that means. Not a whole hell of a lot. But what this does do, LZ, is it sets them up potentially to go on a run that we can have this conversation about it being a dynasty. Because yes. What are we talking about here? Mookie Betts is a former MVP and in the prime of his career and is going to be one of the best players in baseball for a long time. Cody Bellinger is already an MVP, is young, is a young, young player who is already one of the best players in baseball. They're going to have him around for a very long time. You've got a multiple-time All-Star at shortstop in Corey Seager, and I know that I am the president of the Corey Seager fan club. I know I bring him up more than anybody else on this station.
I don't know why.
He is a fantastic, fantastic. Here's why, Raj. It's a good question. He had a, air quotes, bad season last year. He led the league in doubles. He's a silver slugger guy. He's a multiple-time All-Star. He plays the most important position defensively on the field, and he does it at a high, high level. And he is a young guy as well. So you've got those three guys. You've got Bellinger. You've got Betts. You've got Seager. And then, of course, you have a guy that I think we'd all agree is probably not too far away from cashing in a Cy Young Award. And Walker Buehler, you have all the pieces that you need, young pieces, veteran pieces that are already MVP stamped like Betts. This is how you go on a dynasty. You catch in one or two of these things along the way, and now we're talking.
Yeah, this is fantastic news. And, you know I made the joke about Dak. Well, it's not really a joke. It is real. I mean, but that's for him and the Cowboys to figure out. But this is how you solidify your place. This is how you give a heads up to your division, if not the rest of the league. We're not playing around with you. We're not going away anytime soon. We're not going to put together a roster full of all-stars and then blow it up 2 years later because of money or whatever the hell they were doing down in Florida with the Marlins. We're not doing any of that. We're planning on keeping our foot on the gas pedal. And the first 8 divisions, because I'm assuming we're going to win this one, won't even compare to what's going to happen when we really get cooking. Because remember, Travis, like a couple of those division titles were touch and go. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this at the 60-game mark. They wouldn't even have been in the playoffs. Those days, those touch and go days are behind. We're now talking about just pure excellence and dominance from the beginning of the season until the final pitch. And when you see Mookie locked up, Cody Bellinger's going to be locked up. You see Walker Buehler, your ace, getting locked up. And then you realize we have the luxury of putting the most coveted prospect on ice in Gavin Lux. We're like, yeah. We're going to defrost you in a couple seasons. Don't worry, we got you. This will be your this will be your team for 15 years. It just won't start right now. Like, when you know this is how they're built and this is how they're being crafted and this is the message that they're sending, how can you not be excited and feel good if you're a Dodger fan?
And let me throw this in there, too. Let me throw this in there, because I think this is just as important as those headliners that we're talking about. Is Andrew Friedman has done a remarkable job of identifying other guys that you can bring in that you have to round out your roster with. Whether it's a guy like Chris Taylor, who when he was in Seattle, Chris Taylor was not a particularly effective major league player. He's okay. He's come to the Dodgers. He's been fantastic. Max Muncy was available to whoever wanted him. Right? Max Muncy was a guy that was basically a minor league guy for most of his career. The Dodgers identified him, brought him in, gave him an opportunity to play, and now they've got another all-star in Max Muncy. He's been able to identify guys in the bullpen. He's been able to identify guys that could do multiple things in multiple different positions, and that's how you do it. You need star power. You need a Bellinger. You need a Betts. You need a Buehler. You need some guys like this, but you also need a Kike Hernandez or a Chris Taylor or somebody like that who rounds this thing out. So not only do they have high-level headliner guys, not only do they have the second tier of guys that make or break your team in most seasons, but you've also got the guy that's identifying all these pieces that really doesn't miss very often. Nobody gets them all right. There's some of these things that don't work out, but he gets a lot more right than he gets wrong. So as these other players start to, you know, age out of the back end of this thing, as Chris Taylor, you know, maybe somebody offers him big money to go play every day. Maybe that happens to Kike Hernandez. He's going to be able to find the next one of those guys at a much more likely rate than somebody else, because he's shown he can do it over and over and over again.
Yes. Yes. And that's the reason why I hear what people are saying about the name drain and talent drain that the Rams have gone through. But Les Snead, post Jeff Fisher, has shown a little bit of some of the same, where he's got the big names. I'm not going to front like he hasn't went out and got big free agents, but he's also found little gems that either other teams didn't know what to do with, or, you know, people didn't think they had that kind of potential. And they come to the Rams like a Robert Woods. And you're like going, oh, well, that should have never been able to get away. Why did they let that go? You know, but Les Snead has shown a little bit of that. But obviously, Andrew has a longer resume. Now he's just got to finish the deal. All of this talent building and acquisitions won't mean a damn thing if we can't get some confetti.
Breaking news on ESPN 710 is powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Pull into Valvoline today and get 20% off of service. Just mention ESPN. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for coupons and locations. And as you mentioned, LZ, the Dodgers made a roster move yesterday. Gavin Lux is not going to be on the roster, at least to start the season. And this is not a, oh, you know what, one of our highly prospect guys is not what we thought he was. I know he's off to a slow start. I know that he was late to get to camp. But this is far more of a move to control service time. Again, like we're talking, thinking, you know, three-dimensionally, that I'm going to need Gavin Lux to be one of my best players 5 years from now when I don't have to pay him maximum money. If I can delay that for a year, let's do it. So it's more of a service time play than anything else, but it's also an indication that the Dodgers are not there. They expect to hit the ground tomorrow night against the Giants at Dodger Stadium, and they're going to go. They're not developing. They're not waiting to see what happens next. They're going to mash the gas pedal from the opening pitch.
I want to see 45 wins or more. That's what I want to see.
That's a 750 clip. That's asking a lot.
So, When much is given, much is required. So if we're saying this team is stacked, well, you know, actually it was Uncle Ben. But if you're saying this team is stacked, yeah, they were related. If you're saying these teams are stacked and that we're clearly the best team in a very weak division, then yeah, I'm expecting 45 wins, which I know is like expecting like 60-some wins for like a Lakers squad. But guess what? they were on course for 60 some wins. That's when you're that squad saying I'm expecting you to win at least 12 football games in a 16 game season. It's a lot, but I'm looking at you.
Just and you have I a just lot. I want you to know what you're asking though. I just so you understand. But winning 45 games out of 60 is a 750 clip. That's the equivalent of winning 123 games during the regular season, which would be the most ever. So that's a huge ask.
If you stretch it out that way, sure. But remember, over the course of a 160-game season, you also have games you just don't give a damn about. This, true. So if you just concentrate on the games that you give a damn about, if you just say, all right, for 60 games, we just need to stay and keep our feet on the gas pedal. We're not going to have any games or any series with a team where we're rotating in guys in and out of, like, you know, minor league and just promoting them up because we don't want
number 22 Kershaw
to log too many innings. So we're just going to give him some time off and just bring in this guy to pitch because it's the Reds and who give a damn. That's also part of the equation.
I hear you, and I think that that's a possibility. But what I think is also a possibility and arguably a more likely possibility is that the Dodgers are going to win a whole bunch of games. And once they get to 35 or so and they still have, let's say, another 10 or 12 games to go, maybe a little bit more than that, they're going to have a really comfortable lead in that division. And I think you're going to get a few of those. I don't give a damn about this game. I'm going to give Clayton another day. I'm going to give Walker Buehler another day. I'm going to give, you know, Corey Seager a day off or Muncy or Bellinger or whatever it might be, because I think they're, to your point, the Giants are not good. The Padres are not good. The Rockies are not good. The only two teams that they're going to play this season that I think are going into this with legitimate playoff aspirations are the Astros and the A's and maybe the Angels if they can get their pitching figured out a little bit. They're not going to play very many good teams, so I think they're going to have a comfortable lead, even with a short season, and you're going to get some of those I-don't-give-a-damn games. And just 45, LZ, that's an insane amount.
Yeah, but they're not playing in a bubble. So while the division, for sure, they can rest their laurels on, the Stankies are a good team.
Yeah.
So they got to keep their feet on the gas because you want to secure that home field advantage. So they're playing for more than just making sure they beat up on their division. They're playing to make sure that every single game that matters, every game seven, comes home, whether there's people in the stands or not.
All right. Don't forget, we have another Laker Friday giveaway coming up this Friday in a couple of days. And if you win a Lakers jersey, you win a limited edition 12-inch Anthony Davis NBA collectible figurine from Small Stars. Plus, you'll get exclusive access to the Lakers virtual watch party for that first game back on the 30th against the Clippers. That'll be hosted by the Cam Bros coming up at 6 o'clock on Thursday the 30th. Of course, that's all powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons to score slam dunk savings on your next oil change. We're going to celebrate a birthday next, LZ, an important birthday. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
I told you it was an important birthday, a birthday for none other than Key. Key, happy birthday. How are you? Happy birthday, my friend.
Good, man. Good, you know. 10 years away from being 50, so I feel good.
10 years? You better carry the one. What you talking about? Your math is so damn off.
Well, maybe I'm getting dementia or something. Who knows? But, you know, it's enjoyable, man. I'm going to enjoy the sun, enjoy the day, do a little lunch, do a little dinner, enjoy it.
You couldn't stay away from us, right? You didn't make it 4 days before you had to come back.
Man, I told LZ I ain't going anywhere. I'm around. You know, Raj reached out and we had a conversation, and here I am. That's right. Here I am.
Well, I will say that I decided to take the mental approach that you're not actually gone. You're just on vacation. And every now and then you're going to call in from wherever you're vacationing from.
Yeah, that is correct.
Just kind of live in that state of mind. Yes.
That is correct.
Happy birthday, brother. Happy.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Those days of really turning up is,
Well, we
got to wait for that.
Not that far in the rearview mirror. I mean, I was there on Saturday night. That was not crazy, but it was not nothing.
Oh, that wasn't either. A turn-up.
Yeah,
After your first bottle and a half by yourself, Travis, we knew that it was important to make sure that, you know.
But you were a very generous
that you had transportation and everything. I was over there, Chris. I was over there with Chris, and I kept nudging Chris. I said, white man golf drunk. Check him out. Chris just nodded his head. I did a couple more glasses. I had to say, dude, that is wine you are drinking. You're not drinking water out of the bottle. You was good taking that thing and gulping it down like it was water.
Good. I was excited to see you guys.
And then once the slurring started to take shape, I was like, oh yeah, okay. I see where this is going. You're in trouble. We gotta make sure he has a sober driver doing this.
I did. No, I was very responsible.
He was very responsible. But like you, Key, I noticed when Travis was starting to talk to me, but he wasn't actually making eye contact.
No.
He was looking through me.
Yes.
I knew then that, you know.
Man, I'm telling you, man. That was so fun to be able to sit there and have, you know, I don't know, what were there, 4 hours, 3 hours, something? It was not within the CDC rules, trust me. But we had our mask on, but you could just tell after every glass, it was a different Travis. And to the point where one more glass or two, he'd have really started getting mad. To political behavior of some of his allies in Orange County who came out. You know, he'd have been mad at them. You can just tell. He'd have been rolling with us for sure.
I would have gotten very upset at your mask, Key. I would have
no,
told you
no,
my
no,
feelings,
no,
right?
No, 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 not my mask. The other way around. You would have started to get mad at your allies down in Orange County for their behavior.
Oh, no, LZ and I had that conversation. You were at the other end of the table. But
I could just tell. I'm telling you, as I was watching you, and this is the first time I've had a chance to talk to you guys since the dinner, but I'm watching you, and I'm like, one more glass, and everybody in here is going to be called some names if they not rolling with Black Lives Matter. I could just tell.
We are not the only ones to wish you happy birthday. The Jets wished you a happy birthday, and they put up a video, Key, of you scoring your first NFL touchdown. I have never seen a person get their helmet off faster after a touchdown than you did in that thing. Your helmet was off before you hit the ground.
Oh yeah, it was that was against the Indianapolis Colts. It was my first touchdown. I think that year I scored 8 or 9 TDs, something like that. But that was my first. But I was bottled up all season long. It just was, they were not utilizing me. The season was not going in the direction in which you thought it was. So a lot of my teammates were so frustrated for me that when I scored that touchdown, and you probably didn't get a chance to really glimpse and get a full view of the entire product as it was finished. So I scored, I slammed the ball, I stomped, I threw my helmet off. It became a whole thing, right? The next thing you know, the entire bench erupted and ran down to the end zone and all jumped on top of me. Now, people, you know, it's almost like politics. They're not going to show certain things. They want to make it seem as though I was a wild, non-obtainable animal. That's how they want to portray it. But at the end of the day, my entire team, even coaches on the staff, ran down to the end zone. It was unbelievable. You may be able to find the overall clip as a whole on like YouTube or something, but it was crazy. And Harry, I think it was Harry Swang or Harry Galbraith, jumped on my back and I slid on turf. I had no gloves on, so the turf was not the turf that we play on now. It was the real plastics turf that you break your head on. It burned my entire hand, the inside of my hand web. It peeled off skin on both sides. And I had to play the rest of the game with no skin on my hands. It was unbelievable.
You know what's
it hurt
like crazy?
Hell.
What's so crazy is that I'm looking and I'm like, huh, they're wishing you happy birthday. I'm still waiting to see what the Bucks are going to do, because you actually won a chip for them. For the Jets, you didn't even win a chip for them. And they're celebrating your birthday 20, 30 some years after drafting you. When are the Bucks going to celebrate you, right? You should have a video tribute.
You know, my relationship with the Tampa Bay Bucks is interesting, because the ownership group is split on me and their family. Some of them like me, and then I think some of them take the political route. And then there's people within the Bucks organization that are scared to death to mention my name. It's the weirdest thing ever, but then they invite me back to everything that they do. They want to invite me back to, you know, to retiring of jersey numbers and ring of honors. But then yet and still, much like you say, they will act as though I don't even exist. It's the funniest thing ever. I remember I went back into the Bucks facility to do an interview. I don't remember who I was interviewing, but it was at a time, you know, I didn't have a picture on the new facility on the wall at all of me. Nothing. It was like they erased me. But that's okay. I mean, that's fine. You are who you are. It doesn't bother me. If you ask me to, you know how I am. If you ask me to help you out in something, if I'm available, maybe I could do it. I mean, I think Buccaneer fans that are true Buccaneer fans appreciate my time there and what I was able to do. But I also revealed what was really going on behind closed doors. That's part of it with me and my career, man, is I always tell people, the problem with
telling people the truth
is I tell people the truth and I get it out before everybody else. And it's like, well, we can't. We don't want that out there. And it just, it's the reality of it. When you unveil something that somebody else don't want to see, you become a problem for them. And I strongly believe that in terms of John Gruden and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And at the time that we had together, we won a championship, and it was a great 4 years that I had there, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And the people in Tampa, for the most part, always treated me fair and with respect. But I also was woke, as they like to say, way back when. I wasn't one of those dudes that just marched to the beat of everyone else's drum. I did it the way I wanted to, and I'm proud for that.
So,
man, they got Mike Evans tributes on their little thing. They got Mike Evans. They got Warwick Dunn tributes. They got pictures of freaking Gronk, and he hasn't even played yet. I demand respect for your name, man.
Man, look, at the end of the day, I'm going to sleep good at night. It ain't going to make or break my career. I'm not worried about it. I won a championship. I appreciate it. I contributed in a great way for them, and I'm moving on with my life, man.
Okay, Keith, we didn't get to nearly enough things, so I'm going to make an executive decision, and you're going to stick around, and we're going to do another segment, because I want to get your thoughts on T.O.'s 4-4-2-40 against Tyreek Hill and what you might be able to put up. That's coming up next on The Morning Show. Key is back on 710 ESPN. So, Key, Terrell Owens posted a 4-4-2 running against Tyreek Hill. Have you run at all since you raced Marcellus a few years ago?
not anything like that. little treadmill, bicycle, jog. That's about all. Ain't none of that. What am I gonna do that for?
Well, Tio's trying to get back in the team. What could
I'm not. I don't even want to take a guess. That ain't even something. That's so far out of my wheelhouse. I played football, man. I'm done. I had a great career. I'm happy with my career. I'm on the bigger and better things in my life than be trying to play football.
But here's the question, though, because I know how difficult this is for you. Were you impressed that he was able to run that fast at this point in his life?
Was I impressed? No, I wasn't impressed. Why would I be impressed? He trains every day.
Because that's fast as hell.
He's almost 50
years old. But he trains every single day as if he's still trying to play football, like Travis said. So if you, as I've always said, if you continue to do everything and never stop, you're going to continue to be pretty efficient at what it is that you do. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, he never stopped. He's never taken a year off and just laid out and chilled. Like, he's really been trying to play football, man. Like, when did he retire?
A long time
years ago. Like, he really been still ago. Trying to get in the league, man. Like, come on, man. Seriously. I mean, that's impressive. There's no question about it. But I wouldn't expect anything less than a guy who is constantly training to get back into the league.
His last season was 2010, so he's been out of the league for a decade.
See, come on, man. I don't even know if he's trying to get in the league or he just really likes to train and work out. I don't know that he's trying to get back in the league. It seems that people seem to think that he's trying to convince people consistently to get back in the league, but I don't think he's there. Maybe he is. I think he just likes to work out and train and do those things.
Could he do it, Key? Let's say somebody just on Lark said, you know what, let's give him a shot. Could he survive out there? He's almost 50 years old.
He could survive. He could survive. For sure he could survive, 100%. Now, I don't know if he's going to be able to be running away from people and, you know, running the routes and coming out of his breaks and doing all those sort of things, but he can survive for sure. If somebody decided we're going to make you our third receiver, I on record promise you T.O. is better than 70% of the number three receivers in the NFL right now. Without even seeing him work out and play, I can guarantee you that. He's better than 70% of the number three guys in the NFL.
Well, if he is, then why doesn't someone take the chance and sign him?
Man, I can't answer that for you, LZ. You know, you look at age, you look at history, you look at all of those sort of things, and they really aren't trying to fool with you. Like, they just not – it's just not one of those deals. You know what I'm saying? Like, you when you leave the league a certain way, you know how these owners are, man. You see it every single day. They not signing off on that. The general managers ain't even bringing it to them because they rather go with someone that's not a progress stopper and some young talent that, you know, is far cheaper. And it's just not going to ever happen. If he's trying to get back, I don't know that he's trying to get back in the league. It seems to me, he just likes working out and being around guys and challenging younger receivers and stuff. Like, you would never, like, that's just not who I am. I'm not like, I did my time. I put up phenomenal numbers doing my time, and I won my Super Bowl. I'm good. I'm like, I'm at peace. You know, I'm not trying to show people that I can still play football. Nah, man, good luck to him if he's trying to get back in the league.
Key, did you see where I'm pulling it up right now. I'm blanking on the guy's name. TJ Lang, that's it. A former player in Green Bay said that Cam is not going to happen, that Cam has not been a high-level player. What he wrote was, people want to live in the past when it comes to Cam. Hasn't thrown a TD or a touchdown pass since week 13 in 2018. Last eight games, 0-8, 9 TDs, 10 picks. Not saying he can't rebound, but I really hope he does. But let's not forget, it's about what have you done lately.
You know, you can peel a potato back a lot of different ways, and you could make it sound egregious as you wanted to, or you could puff piece it however you want to. In 2018, Cam was having a phenomenal season. Yes, they lost the eight games or whatever you want to call it, but that ain't all Cam Newton. I mean, like, stop. I don't even know what that dislike for Cam is. Maybe there's some history there. I don't know. But then you talk about 2019. Come on, man, the man was hurt. Do you charge Tom Brady for the year that he tore his ACL? Do you charge him for that year and say, Tom Brady didn't do anything? Well, he was hurt. So I don't know what the issue is with Cam and people, or especially an offensive lineman, which is kind of weird to me. But I think the New England Patriots feel confident in Cam Newton, that they signed him. So I think I feel confident that Cam will be fine. And I think there's many other people that feel confident that Cam will be fine.
Well, he looks like a complete beast right now, you know, physically. But do you think there is something to be said about the accumulation, which normally doesn't show externally anyway, but internally? And that's what he's referring to?
Accumulation of what? The hits?
The seasons after seasons after seasons. So you can still look great. Like me, I look fine. But shoot, I'm broken down on the inside.
I think he's 100%. I think he's 100% healthy. I think he'll show everybody that this year. And you can't go off him getting hurt and then another injury coming, and then all of a sudden he is not stable. He's always going to be hurt. You can't do that. You got to let the man rebound and get fully healthy, which he didn't do in 2019, and now he seems to be fully healthy, and see what he is this year. because I would never call it a comeback story. Like most people, I'm saying this on this day on your show, on Travis and LZ right now, don't call it a comeback, because I'm sure to next season or this season, at some point, you're going to hear the people talk about, oh, what a great comeback story. It ain't no comeback story. It ain't. The man was hurt 1 year. He wasn't out the league.
Well, so Dak is still waiting to get his money from the Cowboys, Key, but it looks like Mookie Betts is going to get his before playing in hardly any regular season games. There's a story that broke that Mookie and the Dodgers are deep into discussions on a long-term high-dollar contract extension. This is the beginning of another run of great Dodger baseball, isn't it? That if you got him and Bellinger and Bueller and Seager and all these guys, they're going to keep ripping off those division titles for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, let's get it done. Let's get it done. Let's get it done right now. In the pandemic, I'm willing to pay you. You know, as I always say, you sit around and you mess around and you play games with six in one hand, half a dozen in the other, and you can't make up your mind. And then all of a sudden, one of them hands go away and you stuck with only one hand, you're going to be in trouble. And I think him and his representatives are smart enough to see, no, let's not mess around with this anymore. It's too much money on the table. Let's not keep pushing the envelope, thinking that if we get the free agency, all of a sudden we going to get to $700 million. Nah, whatever the Dodgers are offering them, they'll get it up a little bit more and they'll get the deal done, and that's what we want. We want the deals done so we can put our roster together for the next several years and continue to dominate the Western Division.
I'm okay with locking him up. I'm okay with locking up all our young players, but I'm not doing it to rack up a bunch of division titles. I'm thinking about World Series. And do you feel as if too many guys up top is going to make it difficult to sign necessary pieces around them in order to make that happen?
Well, I think the when you drop? Look at – no, oh, I'm okay. Here. I'm here. I just, you know, okay. I think when you think about it, LZ, Travis, that they're not putting themselves in a position – to just win division titles. I think the championship and the rings and the banners to be hung in Dodger Stadium is the goal. Now, we've taken care of business in the regular season. Our problem has been in the postseason, letting teams come in and dominate us. Obviously, Houston cheated us. We know what that is. We know what that was. That, you know, whatever you want to call it, they got us. We didn't do well against the Sox. We didn't do well against the Nationals. We got bounced. I mean, when you start to look at things, we got to do a better job in the postseason, in particular pitching, but the pitching has to be strong, but also our bats have got to back the pitching up. We can't leave our guys out there all alone with no confidence because we're not giving them any runs.
Well, and the other thing that's taking place, too, is to keep the Dodgers have really not made any tough decisions based on economics. They pay their guys. I mean, they gave Clayton Kershaw another $60 million just to kind of be cool. You know, I mean, that they could have played hardball if they wanted to play hardball with him, and they didn't. They paid him because, you know, he's put together an incredible career for them. They're going to pay Mookie big. I would imagine they're going to pay Bellinger big. They're basically approaching this with whatever it takes, we're going to go do it. We've seen them go out and make trades. We've seen them go out and do pretty much everything. And economics has really not played a role in their decision-making. And I wouldn't expect it to start now, especially with a guy like Mookie and all these other guys that are getting ready. You're going to have, you know, maybe you make a tough decision on a guy like Seager, which I think would be a mistake, but they're going to pay Bellinger. They're going to pay these guys. They gave Max Muncy a deal, you know, not a crazy one, but the Dodgers have not pinched pennies when it comes to putting this roster together.
No, they haven't, but they've never really been in the money spending business. But I think that they realize at some point that you have to reward your players to get them to stay motivated, to want to do things and not look to leave, all of those sort of things. And I think that that is a plus. Management is different than it was in the past. I mean, you know, you look about the Frank McCourt situation. The new regime has only been in place for, what, a handful of years now? I mean, it's not like that they've been the owners of the Dodgers for the past 100 years. I mean, they're relatively new to Major League Baseball. And sometimes it takes a minute to really get your hands and eyes wrapped around how you want to conduct business long term.
You gonna stick around for crosstalk
again? Yeah, I was like, "What are you doing for your birthday again? Are you going back to the restaurant we went to? What's the plan, man? What's the plan?"
I'm going over to some friend's house later on, and just my friends. I'm going over to some friend's house. they're cooking for me, and
man, that sounds so suspect. I'm gonna let it slide. Yeah, that sounds real suspect.
If that is coming from one of my kids, I have a lot of follow up questions. Okay, which friend? Who else is gonna be there? What time are you coming home?
Give me some names.
Yeah. So exactly. I got
some follow-ups. Crosstalk next. Crosstalk is next with LZ and Travis.
And George. Coming up.
Oh, Traffic is next. Okay, I forgot already.
And Traffic and Karen.
I've always loved the way that Chris does the crosstalk. He always takes that dramatic pause before he says crosstalk. George, what's going on, my buddy? You doing all right? Sedano? Is nobody here? Is it just me? Because then I can just start doing some freestyle. Oh, there you are. I was just getting ready to do some freestyle. I wasn't sure if you were going to be able to come on or not.
No, I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, I got you. I guess you didn't want to hear me rap.
The answer to your question was no. I don't know if you heard the show yesterday, but in the middle of the show, well, just past the middle point of the show, around like 11:15, 11:20, I threw out my back. I was my back had been sore all weekend. As you know, I've been telling you, I've been going on these really long hikes. The problem with going on these really long hikes is that I also have been a real idiot about not giving my body rest, because I'm like, well, it's just walking. How bad could it be? And I went and looked back on my phone, because, you know, your phone tracks your steps and stuff. I've taken 5 days off from hiking in the 4 months of the pandemic. So, needless to say,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, not ideal. So needless to say, yesterday, all weekend, my back was sore. And then yesterday I went to get up to go to the restroom, and then I threw out my back, had to do the last 35 minutes of the show standing up. And today I'm doing the show from my bedroom, literally laying down with an ice pack on. I do feel a lot better than I did last night, but still recovering at the moment. That's, you know what I've got? I'm DMP old right now.
I'm with you, brother. Trust me. Covering these protests, I haven't talked a lot about it, but I actually have an injured hip now, because I've walked so much covering so many of the protests. And when you go from zero, which is basically what I was doing through most of the quarantine, to walking as much as I have been with the protesters, my hips just says, oh, you think you're in your 20s? Well, here, let me show you something. Bam.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, LZ, because all weekend long I was feeling my back and my right hip, and I was like, so I stopped on Sunday. I didn't do anything and Monday either. So I took the time off and I said, okay, you know, I took a day or two off. I should be fine. And then Tuesday, yesterday, it was just, the craziest thing. Like, I literally was just getting up off the chair, and all of a sudden I felt the spasm, and I'm like, uh-oh, and then that's it. It was over. It locked up, and I was done.
So when you're able to, like, walk again like a normal person, and you start thinking about all the different things you can do, what's a bucket list item that you have? Like, one thing you really want to do now that you've had a time to kind of reassess life because of this quarantine and the pandemic?
I definitely, once we're done with this, whenever that happens, I do want to take more time to go and travel, right? Like, I feel like I've been so steadfast with work, and the schedule is so tight, that when I've had time off, what I wanted to do is just do nothing, you know what I mean? And just relax. And I feel like there needs to be a better work-life balance, right? So I think that there still needs to be time to just do nothing and lay by the sand somewhere, but there also needs to be time to explore a little bit. So that would be my my bucket list thing, a better work-life balance, which also includes just kind of exploring and traveling more.
Yeah, I think you would have lost a snake draft. I don't think work-life balance would have been number one. We did a bucket list. We did a bucket list snake draft, and here are the two options, all right? And this is easier for you because there aren't three people, there's two. But I think you'll be able to figure out who did what based upon the answers.
Yeah, team yeah. One, well, usually it was pretty. I was pretty good at doing that before with three. So there was that. Right. But anyway, go ahead.
So team one.
Yeah.
Hit Alex Bregman with a pitch, run a marathon, hole in one for golf, and attend the Monaco Grand Prix. Team two, visit every baseball park, train ride throughout Europe, follow favorite band on tour, and be cast in a Spike Lee film.
I feel like the last one kind of gave it away.
Yeah. No. Actually, if you listen, one for golf, that actually gave it away. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, well, the golf one. No, for sure. But I thought for a second, you know what? I know you don't like golf, but because of that, I felt like you wanted to prove that if you could hit a hole in one, it really wasn't a sport, like you like to say. So I thought for a second it could have been you. But no. Yeah, listen, man, first of all, you get me in a Spike Lee joint, I'm in. Like, that's all you sold me on the last one. Like, that's all I need to hear.
You sold me on the word joint. Sedano Show is coming up right now. You guys have a great time.